worst nightmare.
Joey.
Ugam karoti vachalam.
Ugam karoti vachalam.
Angulam gayate girim.
Angulam gayate girim.
Yakripa samaham bande.
Yakripa samaham bande.
Shri Guru Dinacharinam.
Shri Guru Dinacharinam.
Hanuman delivering the ring to Mother Sita. This is Hanuman Preshadvira. This is Hanuman Brahmacharya Ashram in Peru. Brahmacharya Ashram.
Sorry.
Hanuman Das. This is how your body appears to your brain. I will actually have a separate slideshow on this too. So we've been doing this Bhakti Shastri, so Upanishad program. And I'm very secondary. We have different things here. This is one PowerPoint show we have. Let's try it here. Push that five. The Bhaktivedanta Library, organized by the Engineers of the Academy. It's good, one light is good.
One light.
Yeah. Eklus. And this is our, this is our particular, actually, I really, one purport Prabhupada says every sannyasi should be head of his own institution for preaching Krishna consciousness. So we started the Anjana Sutta Academy. Hanuman's mother's name is Anjana. So he's Anjana Sutta. And we have our own web page, jayarama.us. Prabhupada says that Hanuman came to the edge of the ocean. He didn't think, well, what's on the opposite side? Should I get lunch? Or what should I do? He just said, Jai Ram. Jai Ram. So this is the Bhaktivedanta Library. Shesi Bhaktivedanta Prabhupada, author, Saktivedya Botanica. Somebody in that shop. Okay. Prabhupada is non-different from his books, and whatever relationship we have with his books is also our relationship with him. Am I translating in Spanish? Hey, whatever you can have Spanish. Yeah, Spanish section over there. And Russian over here. I don't know the other language. I don't have that. So he's probably mentioned as an author in the Encyclopedia Britannica. Actually, I haven't seen this for 3 years, so I don't know what's here. This is very interesting. There's one professor, George L. Hart, at the University of California. He wrote a book called A Rapid Sanskrit Method. It was published by Mohanlal Varanasi Das in 1989. And he said, if Sanskrit is like Chinese, Arabic, Greek, and Latin, one of the few languages which have been a carrier of a culture over a long period of time, thus the variety of writings in it and the quantity of those writings are staggering. An incomplete list of subjects treated in Sanskrit, usually with great prolixity, is as follows. Four Vedas, the Brahmanas and Aranyakas, Upanishads, grammar, epic Puranic literature, including 18 major Puranas, 18 minor Puranas, and hundreds of Stala Puranas. Yeah. Works on medicine, logic, astronomy and astrology, mathematics, law books, architecture, music, and much more. On most of these subjects, there is an immense literature still extant, indeed a rough estimate of the works which will be listed in the new Catalogus Catalogorum yields a total of about 160,000 works, many so difficult that it would take years of study to properly understand them. So the Catalogus Catalogorum is a bibliography which is maintained by Indologists. And for example, we'll say like in the Maharaj of Mysore's library, some book on this topic. In the London Museum, some book on this topic. So right now, they have over 160,000 ancient Sanskrit texts available. So compared to other languages, Arabic, Chinese, it's so vast, Sanskrit. And the Prabhupada says that the British are the most astute people on earth, the most cunning, like that. And they never trust an Englishman. You're Scotch, I guess you could. Scottish, you could appreciate that. Very good. They won the Second World War from espionage. For example, there were two very powerful German spies, and they were supplying so much information. One time it resulted in the annihilation of something like 15,000 British soldiers, their espionage information. But in the end, it was discovered actually were British agents, right? And they sacrificed 15,000 soldiers to establish the credibility of these two spies, and in the end, they used them to destroy the German army.
Sanskrit does have a share of great writers. Kalidas ranks with the greatest poets. Panini is without question the greatest pre-modern grammarian. The Mahabharata ranks with the Iliad and Odyssey. And the Bhagavad Purana is among the finest works of devotion ever written, being equaled, in my opinion, only by other works in Indian languages. And we discussed this this morning. Professor Rao from South India, from Madras, he's emeritus professor, he comes to Oxford to teach. And he said, it says in the different Sanskrit literature, the Puranas are very beautiful, like stars in the sky. And they look very, very powerful until the moon of Srimad Bhagavatam comes up. And they all say, oh, he's much bigger than we are. And he said, I read all these literatures. I've been doing it for 40 years. And he said, it's not an exaggeration for the beauty of the poetry, for the depth of the philosophy, for the sophistication of the grammar. It says Srimad Bhagavatam is in a class by itself. You know? Even atheists, Sanskritists, they say everything's evolving from matter. It's all produced by sex desire. There's no God in control. And you know, the Aryans came, they invaded, and they started producing more and more sophisticated literature by evolution. And the final conclusion of all of this was Srimad Bhagavatam. So isn't evolution wonderful? It produced Srimad Bhagavatam. But that's their idea, at least. Wherever it came from, you can't beat it. Okay, now we have the Bhaktivedanta library. I guess I put that there as kind of an extra thing. So we have Shruti, that which is heard directly from the Lord Himself. And of course, this is the Vedas and the Upanishads. And in this perspective, then Srila Prabhupada gave us the Isopanishad, which is from the Yajurveda. And this morning we're mentioning that every Samhita, every Veda, the basic mantras, has associated with it a Brahmana, which describes the rituals, and Aranyaka, which is for the Vanaprastha, I think. And finally, Upanishads, which are very philosophical for sannyasis, those who are ready to leave the world. So the Yajurveda has a collection of Upanishads associated with it. And the very last one is Isopanishad. Then Prabhupada also gave us then Bhagavad Gita, which is also called, Gita Upanishad. And the same thing, actually I was thinking this and indications, actually I read it in the third camp just a few days ago, that Prabhupada says that Bhagavad Gita is the cultivation of the intelligence. An actual cultivation of the spirit, soul, actually begins with Srimad Bhagavatam, like that. Yeah. And then Srimad Bhagavatam, the heart, of the Bhaktivedanta library. Kalo Dose, in the age of Kali, there's no manifest incarnation, because it's so crazy, everybody is claiming to be an incarnation, so the Vedas say there are no incarnations. So Lord Chaitanya is Channa avatar. He's a covered incarnation. Idam Bhagavata Nama Purnam Brahma Samitam Uttama Shloka Charitam Chakram Bhagavan Rishi. This Srimad Bhagavatam is the literary incarnation of God, like that. And those people who are confused can get full protection. Prabhupada says anybody who can see Srimad Bhagavatam has seen Krishna. They are identical. So Srimad Bhagavatam is the heart of our whole library. And then connected with it after that, there's Chaitanya Charitamrita from Prabhupada. And Chaitanya Charitamrita we can describe as a Srimad Bhagavatam class, right? Lord Chaitanya is showing us how to appreciate Srimad Bhagavatam. They would take like one verse, like Tavakatam Ritam Takta Jivanam Kaviriritam Kalmasapaham Shravana Mangalam Srimadattatam Bhuvigranantaye Buridajanaha. So it's the gopis sing this. And Lord Chaitanya, Ramananda Roy, who else? Subdhamadar. They would just chant these mantras, one mantra that over and over again, like japa, and just enter into the mood, the whole scene, the whole world like that. So Lord Chaitanya is showing us how to appreciate Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Chaitanya said, you can only understand Srimad Bhagavatam when you become a madman like me. Because there are many madmen, but this is a madman like Lord Chaitanya. Vrindavan Das Thakur, in Chaitanya Bhagavat, he says, my only ambition is to study Srimad Bhagavatam life after life with Lord Nityananda as my teacher. So Srimad Bhagavatam is the essence. And then Chaitanya Charitamrita, oh, so nice. And then the Krishna book. How is the Krishna book related to Srimad Bhagavatam? Yeah, it's a summary of the whole 10th canto. Prabhupada says Krishnadas Kaviraj was very old. He couldn't stand up. He couldn't sit down. He was afflicted by 3 kinds of diseases or 5 kinds. He was shaking as he was writing. He could die at any moment. And the purport Prabhupada says, I'm the same way. I'm practically invalid from arthritis. I've had heart attacks. Any moment I could leave the scene. So therefore I translated the 10th canto as a summary study as the Krishna book. So my readers will have the essence of all the Vedic literatures like that. Krishna book ki.
Jai.
And then the light of the Bhagavat. What's that?
A chapter
from the description of Bhagavatam.
Yeah, it's one chapter, right? Description of Adam. I think it's chapter 20. That, yeah. And then the life and teachings of Lord Chaitanya. This was actually just produced in English this year here. In Spanish, it's been available for some time. But it is. It's the introduction to Srimad Bhagavatam. It's a little biography, right? A little biography of Lord Chaitanya, about 35 pages, which is the introduction to Srimad Bhagavatam. This also produces a separate book. It's very nice. Then there's the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, which Prabhupada did as a summary. What is the content of that? What's in there?
Discussion is an affirmation.
Yeah, it's different philosophical. The philosophical conversations. Prakashananda Saraswati, I think Ramananda Roy, maybe Sarvabhauma. So Prabhupada took out the philosophical. Chaitanya Bhagavat is more pastimes, and Chaitanya Charitamrita has more like philosophical discussions. So Prabhupada translated that. Okay, how fancy there we go. Then Nectar of Devotion. So our David Haberman professor, he says that basically Nectar of Devotion is an extract from Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita. Because for the most part, if we look at it, you see that Srimad Bhagavatam talks about Daivi Varna Ashram Dharma. Do you want to sit in front of your, sit down in front of your space here? You want to sit here? Space, your seat has been reserved. Ishabhasya Vidam Sarvam. Your quota. So, Srimad Bhagavatam is Daivi Varna Ashram Dharma. Right now, for example, I'm reading the whole story and history of Devahuti and Kardava Muni. This is excellent for grihastas, devotees planning on getting married. Right now I was reading about, Prabhupada's talking about the attitude of a wife and how, what kind of mentality she should adopt. It's very, very clear there. Okay, this is how she should act and how to have a happy family life. As Kardama. So this is all Varna Ashram, how to be a good wife, how to be a good king, how to be a good son. But it can take us to Krishna, without a doubt. So it becomes Daivi Varna Ashram, Daivi Varna Ashram. Or we can be already self-realized Paramahamsas and we can use Varna Ashram. So it's also Daivi Varna Ashram, like that. But then Rupa Goswami, Nectar of Devotion, he extracts out the exact, you know, science of bhakti. You know, samanya bhakti, vaidhi bhakti, raganuga bhakti, bhava bhakti, prema bhakti, and different levels like that. And then Nectar of Instruction. Yeah, it's a summary. Yeah, you find everything is a little summary of Nectar of Devotion. Then we have, I don't know how many volumes of letters. It's about 18 volumes of letters. And lectures, again, maybe 25 volumes. Room conversations, I forgot, it was like 100, it's one ridiculous number, like 38 volumes or something like that. So I think this is, then there's smaller books, which I didn't put in here, but this is the Bhaktivedanta library, what Prabhupada gave us. Prabhupada said, don't say I didn't give you anything. Yeah. And what's the heart? Srimad Bhagavatam, yeah. Okay. There you go, here's Hanuman. Delivering the Isopana, the Upadeshamrita to Mother Sita. Yeah. So here we see, we have Isopanishad, one volume, Bhagavad Gita, one volume, Srimad Bhagavatam, 36 volumes, Prabhupada, Chaitanya Charitamrita, 17, Nectar Devotion, 1, Nectar Instruction, Krishna Book, Light of the Bhagavad. Krishna Book's actually more than that, it's actually 2 or 3. Life and Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Lectures, 25 volumes, Letters, 7 volumes, 32. So it's 125 volumes of books, right? But sometimes you go to grihastas' houses, especially like United States, places like this, they have all these books. You know? So when you're giving the presentation, you start putting them in front of you like that, you know, stacking them up like that, you know, and it's really impressive. So then one time I was commenting that some people say that Prabhupada didn't give you everything like that, you know. And all these books are stacked there. And one boy spontaneously said, thank God. And Prabhupada says, he says, even in 100 years, you cannot study thoroughly all the books we have. A disciple has to extract from the spiritual master's teachings, you know, what for his own particular, he has to build his own Krishna consciousness. A certain citation, certain things, you know, from memory. Then after that, the logic, you build your logic about how these are connected in terms of rubber. This is Uttamadhikari. He can quote from the scriptures, and he has logic to put it all in proportion like that. And so, Prabhupada's books, everybody has to do, you know, do a survey. Take Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Bhai Bhava, and look at all the books. But then, you know, which prayers did Prabhupada lecture on the most? Yeah, prayers of Queen Kunti. 3 different times Prabhupada gave lectures on those like that. You know. Which may give us some indication about Prabhupada's transcendental position in the spiritual world. I don't know. Yeah. But yeah, we're attracted to different things. Our different natures like that. You know? So, yeah. Yeah. Okay, this is... Okay. Now, if a professional author... If he has a contract, he has the outline of the book, everything ready, it still takes 2 years to write a full-size book like that. It's not a small endeavor. It's very common. It's almost universal. If you write something, you let it sit, and you come back after maybe like 3-4 days when you've forgotten what you were thinking about, and all you have is actually the document, you eliminate, you know, 60%, at least 60% is eliminated like that. So a good pace for writing is considered 3 pages a day. If you can finally produce 3 pages of final text a day, that's considered like a good writer like that. So a professional author takes 2 years to produce one full-size book. So 125 books would take 250 years. Or 25 professional writers. There we go. So Prabhupada ki. Yeah. So you begin to appreciate, you know. Well, you say, oh, they're repetitive. It's just the same thing over and over again. No, for example, in Chaitanya Charitamrita 1541, there's a 13-page purport. And what it is, it's a summary study of Sanatana Goswami's refutation of Shankaracharya's commentary on something like three essential verses of Vedanta Sutra, where Shankaracharya tries to prove that the bodies of Shankarshan, Vasudeva, Shankarshan, Anirudha, and Pradyumna are all material, like that. So it could be printed as a separate book, separate little book like that. There's so many purports like that. In the seventh canto, Narada Muni is describing the Varnashram system in great detail. Sri Dharma, Sannyas Dharma, all these things one after another. And he also describes Brahmachari Dharma like that. And for example, he says the Brahmachari should be Suyantra. What does that mean? In his service to the spiritual master, he should be Suyantra.
A good instrument?
A good machine. Just like that. He should just be serving his spiritual master like a good machine. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Like that. You know? And probably gives very austere, strong, you know, regulation standard for Brahmachari. So then when he was in Bombay, when they were starting to establish the Gurukula there, Prabhupada then lectured on those texts. And so then it's about, I don't know, maybe it's like about 7 days of lectures. And again, it should be extracted from the lectures and printed as a separate book. Because Prabhupada says, what I said in my purport is not practical. Yeah. He says, what I've said in this purport is not practical for now, for this Gurukula. It's more like an idea about what is possible in the Kali Yuga if things become Krishna conscious. And then in those purports he gives like very practical descriptions. For example, instead of going out every morning begging in the neighborhood, he says the Brahmacharya should get up. Little boys shouldn't have a bath because it'll make them sick. They should wash their hands and mouths and stuff. And they should go to Mangalartik. And they should be taught to look at the deities, sing the songs. And they should go back to their classroom. And they should then chant songs and prayers, maybe one or two rounds. And they should be given Mangalartik sweets. And this way they'll think that Krishna consciousness is great fun. Like that. And then when it gets warm enough, and they can take their bath and so on like that. Yeah. So Prabhupada gives very, very nice commentary on his own purport. Yeah. So many things left to be done. Then after that, there's just, for example, in Peru, people are naturally dancers, artists, right? Dancing is very popular in Peru. Karma. You're born there because you have that karma. One little girl, what's her name? Sita. Her parents are physical education teachers. And one time, she may be like about 8 years old, you know? And some of the older girls had downloaded some different dances and stuff on the internet and were learning them. It was very interesting. One of them was a song from Ligan. Ligan is a famous Hindi thing, you know? So they were having teaching these Gurukula girls to do this or dancing, you know. And he went to the Gita Ashram in Peru, which is all Indian people. They built it right next to our temple. You know? So dancing this, the Indian ladies are like, you know, kind of watching like that, laughing a little bit, you know. And after they said, do you know what the song means? They said, well, no. He said, it's not bad, but what it is girls out front of the cabaret inviting men to come inside and drink. It's all these little 8-year-old Gurukula girls. I said, it's not bad, but it's you know, it's not, you can do it, you know. So next time ask us before you, you know, the song means like that. So anyway, also I saw Sita, and she was watching some of these Bollywood dances, and she was just going through all these motions. That stuff was like, you know, and she must have been a Bollywood, you know, film star in her last lifetime. So I'm suggesting they should do an ISKCON Das Avatar. There's a Manipuri Das Avatar, the dance, like that. They have all the different postures. There's, you know, Kalki on his horse, like that. There's Ram with his bow, like that, you know. And it's very, when you see the person dancing it, which really attracts your mind to enter into the humor. I've also seen a South Indian Das Avatar. So we need an ISKCON Das Avatar, like that, 10 incarnations. And also, of course, Gaur Artik is perfect in the material for a dance because it's a description of an activity. So they did a little bit of it like that, and it's so, with several dancers and stuff, you can really see it, you know. And the Manipuris, they're doing this. They do so many dances, dramas. They do Rupa Goswami's plays. And it's a science. The different postures produce different reactions. It's a whole science in terms of stimulating the audience's feelings, reactions, sentiments, lamentation, exaltation, fear, friendship. And it's a science, it's religion, and also it's entertainment, you know. So Manipuris, when they're growing up, and they start dancing when they're little girls, like this big, you know, 5 years old. We went to Manipur last year for Kartik Purnima, and they had a beautiful Ras Lila outside under the full moon. When they set up a Pandal tent, the full moon was shining, it was nice weather, and you're on the top, you're up in the Himalayan mountains there, stars are so clear. And first they start off with one singer. They had different kinds of turbans for different people, for a warrior, for a kartal player, for a drummer. So they're all very sophisticated, very well developed, you know. So it starts off with the singer singing one song, traditional song, and two mridanga players. And they do all these incredible things with mridangas. And there's about 65 kartal players around like that. And the kartals are about this big, and they're made of gold, silver, different metals. When you hit them together, you can, I think 3 minutes, you can still hear it vibrating like that. 3 minutes. Dies away. So they have big, colorful silk things like that. You may have seen like that. So they're playing like this, and then with the straps like that, and all pure white things. And they're going from side to side around the singer, and it's all orchestrated. He'll sing something, and then they'll do the kartals like that and stuff. And it creates a whole, you know, consciousness. So what he's doing is he's inviting Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be the chief guest for the Ras Lila, which is going to follow like that. And with the prayers and stuff like that, he's starting to assemble his body, starting at the feet. The prayer is describing how beautiful are his lotus feet, what they do, and it goes up like that, until by singing like that, he's installed his whole body there. And they finish, and everybody pays obeisances. Then they start the Ras Lila, you know, the full moon is coming up like that, and everything else. And there was Krishna, Narada, and 108 gopis, right? And all the gopis were 12 years or younger, all little girls like that, 12 years or younger like that. And they came before the program, and they were so serious. It's more than just like a game or something. It's, you know, because Krishna passes through you. One time in Vrindavan, the devotees probably went to one performance of Krishna Lila in Vrindavan. They have many of these. And afterwards, you know, the actors all posed like that, Radha, Krishna, gopis. And people were coming, paying their obeisances, giving donations. And devotees were surprised because Prabhupada also got up and paid full dandavats in front of the actors like that. And they were thinking this is kind of maybe some sahajiya thing. And then Prabhupada said, no, the form, whether it's made of painting or brass or anything, the form is Radha and Krishna. So when actors are performing this, they're there. So Manipuris, they have this feeling that if we're acting properly, if we're pure character, we're very sincere, then Krishna will come through us. Like that. The first time the Ras Lila was performed in Manipur, under Krishna's direct order, according to the description, the king's daughter, she was an unmarried girl, she played Radha in it. And after that, she never got married. She refused. She said, well, how can I get married to any human being after? And she experienced this connection like that, of conjugal love of God, like that, you know. And then the king got very old. His name was, Bhagyachandra. Bhagyachandra. Many extraordinary experiences. And then finally, he was getting old, so he just took sannyas. You know, he left Manipur, and many people followed him. And he came from Manipur, which is the Himalaya Mountains, down here to Navadweep. So right across the Ganga in Navadweep, there's a Manipuri area. It's right across from Prajnakesha Maharaj's temple, the other side of the street. It's Manipuri Rajwari. And there was a self-manifesting deity from a tree, like that. And one piece was left after carving deities of Krishna. So he used that piece to carve the deity of Mahaprabhu. That's here, like that. And then his daughter also followed, and she then worshipped Mahaprabhu and stayed there. And then Bhagya Chandra just kind of disappeared into Navadweep as a sannyasi and just left his body someplace like that. Yeah. One time we were doing this in Atlanta, you know, in the temple there. And there's three houses side by side, and they kind of go down like this, you know, so that the front lawn, the bottom lawn, the grass, is like a natural amphitheater with the one above it. So devotees put up a stage. And it was like on a weekday, like Thursday night or something, you know. So we're outside doing all this with these martial arts and jumping around. And then somebody called the police complaining, you know. So the police car came over there, kind of looked at everything for a couple seconds, look. And he just backed right onto the grass on the opposite side of the street and stayed there for 1 hour watching. and never talked, said anything. And after about half an hour, a second police car came and parked right next to him. The guy was doing his paperwork, watching. Yeah. And right at the very end, we did the Ras Lila, about 15 minutes. It's about 15 hours in one section. And I saw it so many times, you know. But it's a fact. Krishna was dancing on stage by himself to start with. It's one girl acting as Krishna. It's so nice, you know, incredible. You know. Then Krishna finishes and the gopis come, like that. You know, like little deer coming in the moonlight, very frightened, you know, timid. And but their dressing room was across the grass, and there's pine needles, so they had to come barefoot from these pine needles. And it was just so, you could see this is what it was like with Krishna, with the gopis just coming through these things like that to meet Krishna, even though it's difficult. You know, and other people made the same comment. It's the fact that when people are sincere, you can see what it's like. You can get this stimulus like that. So we have Chaitanya Charitamrita, so many beautiful songs in Chaitanya Charitamrita, so many things. You know, I was thinking that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's work was to prove that Vaishnavas are Brahmanas. It was his mission, Prabhupada said, to establish that Vaishnavas can do fire sacrifice and they can do worship the deity, worship Shalagram Shila. And Prabhupada's mission was to print the books and spread them all over the world, like that. What was our mission? And I was thinking, our mission is to make movies, right? You know, PowerPoint shows, based on the books. And Bhakti Charu Swami said, yeah, I came to the same conclusion, you know. Because we have all this material, all this stuff. Now let's just put it in some way that common people can appreciate it, like that. We were traveling with this Manipuri program. And we evolved a program. It was about 45 minutes with a break, followed by another 45 minutes. And we evolved it for Western audiences. We traveled like for 2 months, 3 months at a time. It was very austere, a lot of work. And if you ever travel with a roadshow, God, so many difficulties. You know? At one point, for example, we were in Los Angeles with the Los Angeles Music Center on tour. And they do programs for the children in the schools. Then it's very difficult to get selected to participate in this, but we got selected with first class honors like that. So we go to one school in the morning, do a program, and do the second school. And sometimes we do two programs in one day, like that. You know, from little kids, kindergarten to, you know, to fifth grade, and the intermediate school, and the adults. And it's such a variety, I mean, the big kids. There's a variety of responses and things like that. But they all were so impressed, you know, that they never knew about such culture like that. Yeah. So we finished that and we drove up to San Francisco, to Berkeley. And there we were booked with the Cal Performances, which is the big performing arts division of the University of California. So we were able to do that. We were in the best theaters in the world. With that program, you could not get better theaters. Jack Singer Auditorium in Canada, the Kennedy Performing Arts Center, Epcot Disney World Center. You know, so yeah, you can preach like this and have very good results. You know, and so we were there in Berkeley And it was Sunday night, we did one show, and devotees came. And it was Zellerbach Hall. It holds about 700 people in one big thrust. There's no balconies. It's a big thrust theater with about 700 seats, which is a lot. You know? So next day, on the recommendation of the school program in Los Angeles, the school districts in San Francisco had booked us also. And they brought all the kids there, 700 kids, like 12 years old, 13 years old, all these things, And the teachers had stationed themselves along the aisles with like whips and clubs and stuff, And they said, oh God, what is this, These idiot administrators have booked an hour and a half show on Indian dance for 12 and 13 year old Western kids. These guys are going to go mad, It's like, so they were all ready to keep them under control and stuff, And the kids also coming in, talking, shooting spitballs at each other and stuff like that, pulling their hair, what we started off, though, was Manipuri drums, and it's very acrobatic. It's intense. They have like a dolak, no, dome. It's like a drum like this. You play on both sides, like that. Then they have a mridanga, which is skinnier, like that. So you start off, and then they start off with the lighting. I was in charge of the lighting. The lighting comes up, and these guys start very aggressive towards the audience. They love children, so they were watching, watching the kids. The kids are reacting, and what is this, And then they do some things. They do barrel rolls. You take the drum, and you're playing. You go like a full flip like this, not like this, but like this, all the way around like that, off in the ground, in the air like that, So do things like that, and very precise. So you have eight drums playing, and it sounds like maybe one or two. It's so precise to strike them like that. They start studying at 5 years old to play the drums like that, and they can study up to 80 years old, learning everything there is to learn about, playing a mridanga. So don't get proud about playing. They know 12 hours by memory of books of Ras Lila, every note. They practice when they're sleeping, literally just like this. I've seen them just sitting on their sleeping. Okay, that's what we're done. And so then at one point the guy takes this dolak and puts it on the ground like this. He starts to play it and he's going in circles around it. Then he also starts to do these full barrel rolls like this when he's going around in circles like that. So I finished off and I had to run to the back of the audience, and as soon as it's over, you start going, yay! And somebody will follow you, a couple people, then the whole audience picks it up like that, Unless you do that, many times nobody will clap during the whole show. If you see that one time, then people respond like this. This is vibhava, right? This is this stimulus. We think it's spontaneous, but in the beginning it takes some orchestrated thing to stimulate it. It's there, but it takes a little bit of plotting that. Run back up to the lighting room again. And so the kids were, they were, wow, this is fantastic. This is going to be fun, And then went on the second one with something else. It was a tribal dance. Icky, Bicky, Icky, Icky. We didn't know what it meant. Devotees were joking. Icky, Icky, Bobo was just sitting there. It was like this thing. It was Naga dance, with the girls and the boys. And it was also interesting. It had like a American Indian costume, thing like that, what it looked like. And the teachers are all watching this, and the kids are all just absorbed, and the teachers finally, they just sit down and also watched it like that. So it went all the way through, then some soft things. It was very nice. It was all orchestrated for an American audience. And it finished off with the Ras Lila, like that. And one lady, she, what was she doing? She bought tickets to one of our shows in Grass Valley. It's up in the mountains. It's a very kind of culture place, tourist place. So we did one show there, and one devotee had a bicycle shop, two devotees, and he was selling the tickets. And she bought tickets, and she came back on Monday, and she said, Joseph, I was really kind of worried about taking my husband and my son to this Indian dance show, but you said it was so good they'd like it. But I was really worried, if they become bored. But said it was so interesting, And she said, I've been married for 15 years, and I'd never seen my husband cry one time. But during that last dance, he was crying. And that's it, because the raga, the tala, the beats, the melody, the postures, the lighting, It creates this whole sentiment like that. First Krishna comes and he dances, it's very exuberant, he's spinning and doing things. It was Miss Meena Kumari. She was Krishna. Miss Meena Kumari. And Krishna went off, you know. And the gopis come in, and you change the lighting, and you have a little moon up there, with, you can get these things, and some clouds, you know. And they dance for a while, and then Krishna comes out, he says, Lapishi, you know, oh, in Manipuri language, oh, ladies of Vrindavan, it is a beautiful night, the moon is full, the breezes are warm and pleasant with fragrances in the air, and I'm a handsome young boy, and you are beautiful young girls, and I think it's a wonderful night for a dance. And they say, we wouldn't like anything more. So then they all start dancing together like that. Then after some time, they start playing holi, you know, throwing powder, colored powders. So we have flowers like that, you know, throwing them like that. But Krishna got too aggressive, and Radharani was like going back and forth, and she was like in big trouble. So then Lalita and Vishakha, we had four gopis in Manipur, they have 108, you know. So they came up and they started defending Krishna. Naiko, Naiko! Which basically means, cool it, dude. Like that. Cool it, you know. And they stopped him from harassing Radharani. And he said, and now, Krishna, you shall see the power of women. And they came to flowers and started, wham, you know, beating on him like that. He's running back and forth and finally he's falling on the ground. And Radharani's becoming more and more disturbed, and funny, she stops all of her friends, the lights change, like that, the music drops down, and the raga is all to one of forgiveness and reconciliation. You don't have to understand a single word. You can understand that now we're dealing with forgiveness and reconciliation. And Radharani starts, you never touch, but with her, you know, never sorry, she's like wiping Krishna's perspiration, the music's going on, beautiful singers. They start singing from the same thing, they're 5 years old. And they sing in quarter notes. You know, Esaraj, it sounds like a human voice. It's a string instrument. I mean, if you hear it, you think some lady is singing like that. It's so incredible. And two conch shells. Shankha Bhaje. And a big gong. Ganta Bhaje. And it, you know, it gives competition to the Tibetans with their horns and stuff. It's just, it breaks the atmosphere and creates this open acoustical environment. Where things can happen like that. It's just this gong with these conch shells, you know. Shankha Bhaji, Ganta Bhaji. And it goes on, and then finally, you know, Krishna's been enlivened again, and the gopis are pacified, and they all start dancing together like that, and they finally form this posture with Krishna like this, and Radha next to him. What is it now? They're in ice blue, one light. The gopis are in powder pink, like that. And then above there's this bag with holes in it with metal tinsel you can buy, metal paper. So you start pulling this from the side and the flakes start to fall down on Radha and Krishna. And that was, I think, pop-up yellow. And so then it's like, it looks like this sunlight is falling, liquid sunlight falling on them like that. You know, the lighting designers were just going crazy with the outfits and everything else. They spent like extra hours just designing the lighting for this thing, because it's just incredible. But you can change the costume. By changing the lighting, you can just literally change the whole costume like that. So it finishes off like this with, you know, Radha and Krishna together, and the lights are falling, and two gopis are fanning with chamaras, and we have these big candles you can buy like this fat, like maybe eight of those and a lamp, and it's just like, you know, this art going on like that. And funny, it finishes off with Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, bong. Okay, ready on Q47 ready, go 47, one, two, three, go 48, he stands up, and there's an, you know, because he closes with all this energy in your body, and then you just have to wait just 1 second, the right amount of time, and then you turn the lights up, and everybody just stands up and spontaneously starts applauding. And you're up in the lighting booth above this thing there, like Lord Brahma, you know, all the lights and the control panels and everything else. And, it's like, and down, then the artists start coming on the stage. All the artists, the martial artists, everybody else, they've got to come on just the right pace to keep the enthusiasm going, and people will applaud for like 5-10 minutes, and they'll think, wow, it was such a good show, and everything else. Then they go out and they buy everything. Okay. We had t-shirts and videos. And this is a practical point. However much people spend on a show, they'll spend the same amount for souvenirs like that. And so we found that it was true. It was a good show. So they came out and we were ready then. It was just like people were buying hand over fist, like DVDs and shirts like that. You know? So, Prabhupada gave us such a basis, no? You know, for to carry on like that. And we can do these cultural shows, dances, music, you know, intellectual presentations like that. You know? And, again, that's what else I have here. Yeah, and we should do this from the beginning of our life. Yeah. 24 hours a day. Yeah. And we have, this is some curriculum we made up like that. Yeah. 2 a.m., Chaitanya Charitamrita. 5 a.m., Nectar of Devotion. 7:30 a.m., Srimad Bhagavatam. 8:30 a.m., Your Ever Well Wisher. Noon, Nectar of Instruction. 4:30, Song. 7 o'clock, Bhagavad Gita Upanishad. 8:30, Hot milk. What else we got? That's it. Okay. Yeah. There we go. Thank you very much. But if you just chant Hare Krishna and take prasadam, you will become perfect. So, Prabhupada ki This is our swaroop. So any questions, comments, complaints? Yeah. Oh, I got for you.
They did this Manipur dance in Manipur in the temple a long time ago. This Prabhupada was watching.
Oh.
And they're doing the Vasa Lila.
Yeah.
And it's so nice. And when they're throwing the power.
Yeah.
And the music's going, and then it's really exciting. And then they throw the power, and then everyone freezes. So all the movement stops, and just the power is moving.
Ooh.
And then they dance again.
Oh.
The power. It's really magical. And at the end of the Vasa Lila performance, Prabhupada, he was completely absorbed. And he stood up and he started coming down here.
Sudamara, when he was Brahmachari, he asked Prabhupada about it. You know, he said, you know, like some, he's watching those and the girls performing. Prabhupada said, you become agitated? I said, no, I think the person is alright. Yeah. But it's a kind of practical thing. Because even when they do it, for example, the skirts, they have these big hoop skirts, which cover the lower half of the body, just for that purpose, so there's no gross agitation. There's never any physical contact. There's never any eye contact between men and women like that and stuff like that. So very specific principles included in it to like try and keep it on a spiritual platform like that. Yeah. And we had so many reviews from big newspapers. We were in Caracas, Venezuela, the only time we got to South America. And one devotee there, he had a friend, a lady, you know, he was in the theater business. And she was very famous. She did a movie called Hiroshima Mi Amor. My Love, Hiroshima. And she did a very famous movie on that and peace and stuff, you know. And so she brought one girl who was one of the prima ballerinas from Venezuela, you know, the best dancers like that. She's a nice person. So she came and saw the show. And then she wrote a review in a big international dance magazine, and it said that these girls have a fluidity of motion which Western girls only dream of. Like that, huh? Yeah, because you're born, it's your karma. The little girls, I say, 5 years old, is just coming to do the Rasa Lila. And they're all dancing. They're 180 different sizes. Their teachers are helping them. You know. And then one of them, she just couldn't keep up. She just was just too much, you know, all the things. So she just stood there and started crying. She started crying. Then her teacher came over and just took her to her father. And her father's like talking to her and saying, okay, next year you can dance with Krishna. Don't worry. And she was, yeah, yes, it's true. That's what she did. Take some sweets. And so she watched like that. So by your karma, you're born in the family, no? By your karma. And then by your education, you develop this ability, this karma. This ability like that and stuff. It's just, you know, in America, you ask any girl, can you drive a car? Of course. You know? You ask him money for it, nobody can. But you ask him, can you dance the full Vasant Purnima Ras Lila, 12 hours? Of course. Mm-hmm. And every single note is written down. It isn't like we just spontaneously play some beats for some time. No, it's kit ga di ga ga di ga 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 ga. And they quiz each other like that. They go, the drummers perform about four to five times a week, because there's always something happening, a wedding or a festival. And that's their life, that's all they do. And they get donations, and they live quite well. They're, you know, in a society like that. And then the girls, they learn the dancing. And one time, Miss Meena Kumari, Krishna was sick, so she couldn't perform. So another girl was going to do it, and she was rehearsing, just practicing. And she came to one point and couldn't remember it. And the other girls go, "No, no, ki ka ki da da ki ka ka. Oh, ki ka da ki da ki da ki da ki da." So it's a whole. When you look at it, you realize in one lifetime you can't do this. You know, you take it up at 25 years old or 16 years old, forget it. It's just, you can't do it. You know? We were performing in Gita Nagari at the Rathyatra Festival outside, and one girl, this Western girl, was going to do like Bharatanatyam, you know. And they had just a whole stage program, and then she was supposed to go on right after the Ras Lila like that. You know? It wasn't Ras Lila, it was something else, it was like that. So the Manipuri girls were dancing, and I was just standing watching, you know, and then this girl was next to me. She had to perform next, you know. And so she'd been studying Bharatanatyam for 4 years, you know. So she was next to me, and I heard her say, "Oh, yeah, I have to dance after this." "Yeah, sure, okay." You know? It's like Donald Duck versus Godzilla. So she did it, and she danced her best. And all the Manipuri girls, they ran over there watching, you know. And they appreciated the bhakti. You know, after she came off, they all embraced her, and they were laughing, saying, "Oh, it's so nice, you know. You look just like an elephant." Elephant. So, and then they really appreciated the bhakti. Like that. That's what they can feel. Yeah. Oh, you know, so it goes on and on like that. Yeah, one more story is very funny. There's a couple of them, like my technical. We were at the University of California in San Diego, and had a big theater. The control room was the size of this room. That's the control room, up behind the stage. And a fantastic sound system, huge lighting, you know. The speakers were as tall as this room. So at one point, these girls were singing, you know, and their voices, because they don't use microphones normally, so they have to sing like outside. They can project. So at one point, she just goes into this thing like, you know. And I forgot to tell the guy, the technical guy. So he was like his feet up like this, back and watching the whole thing. And then I remember just before it happened, I turned to him, and it was just too late. She just started to hit it, and literally it would have probably made the entire audience deaf, you know, for a while. So he was like there, and this guy, that's like, it was amazing. It was just like literally he just kind of like physically propelled himself into the air like that, and landed on the master control thing down like that. He turned and he said, Is there anything else like that?" So, "No, it's only one." Then the other one, we're performing one theater. It wasn't too big. It was nice, very nice. You know. We did the whole performance, the preparation, the rehearsal, and the guy up in the control room had all the technical stuff together. And we finished off the very last thing, and we're doing this Ras Lila again with the candles. And I see this guy really slamming. I look up, and the door in the control room is slamming. And the guy is running down the side of the stage, the steps like that, his top speed as fast as he can, like that. You know, goes behind me. And on the wall are these big like levers. He's going like pointing down like that. So I asked him, what's wrong? He said, why didn't you tell me there's fire in this thing? Because we didn't do it in the rehearsal like that. And I said, well, it's this little candle. He said, yeah, but there's a super sensitive smoke detector up there. And it happened once before. And when it goes off, it blows these doors open on the roof, like in a... And they all open up, and these big fans, like the size of the room, start up like that, you know. You know, he said, it's actually very impressive, but it takes like about 1 hour to reset the whole thing. So anyway, it's very... But the main thing was that so many people... And we performed in Singapore at the it was a big theater like that, and they gave us so much money you couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it how much they were paying us for the performance. We're heading back to India, and they, you know, we were used to like maybe like $2,000 for a whole show or something. And they said, okay, now this is the end of our season. We haven't got a full budget, so we hope you'll accept this. We're going to give you $5,000. You know, so well, okay, we'll take it. And they called back about 2 weeks later, oh, we forgot to give you the per diem, because they give every artist a certain amount of money, so it's like, you know, it's like $50 a day and 20 artists, another $1,000, you know. So that's Singapore, a lot of money and no art, no culture. So he went there and performed, and Subhadra Maharaj was there in his silk dhoti, and the British High Commissioner, the Indian Ambassador, and Singapore has like a dictator type guy, you know, tyrant or something, you know, something president's calling him. So he was there with his wife, you know. And then the stage is about this far from the audience. And right at the end of the first half, you have this martial arts thing with these big scimitars, like that, like swords like this. And they're real steel. They aren't sharp. They're real steel. And when they're whacking away at them and jumping over each other and stuff, pieces of the steel just fly off, you know. And it actually was dangerous. Usually about every 3 weeks there'd be one accident. One guy got hit one time right here, almost got his eye. But because they're kshatriyas, they take a piece of needle and thread and just stitch it up themselves. So it was heavy. So he did that, and everybody was very impressed. And then the ambassador, the tyrant of Singapore's wife, came back from the ladies' room, and she said, you know, during that last show, something happened, you know. And she showed us she had contact lenses, and one of the pieces of steel from the sword had come right across the thing and hit her right in the eye. And so, but she had contact lenses, and it was stuck in the contact lens. You know. So I don't know what would have happened to us if he had actually got her in the eye, executed all of us or something. But that's you can approach people like that. Nobel laureates, you know, the heads of state, they all came to these programs. And we had tribal dances, folk dances, and then finally Ras Lila, and finally Maha Mantra. Then outside afterwards, then we had literature, you know. And so people, was a very natural progression like that. You know? So the books are the basis. So you want to learn Prabhupada's books and how we can use them for preaching like that. So any final?
Well, you had BBT books, you had the standard ISKCON books like Bhagavad,
you know, Light of the Bhagavad. The Krishna art book. Yeah. I mean, you were asking $150 for it. It's just like we couldn't carry enough. It was just too big. Like that. Yeah, people, that's the kind of people that are going. How much do you want? $150? Well, that's all. You know. Sell one book a day. Yeah. But it's a big book. So tomorrow, this is actually part of our use of Upanishad in a seminar. So again, tomorrow we're going to be doing text number 4 through 8. You know, so you can review that, have our study guide. And this is the point today, is that East Upanishad, we're seeing it's at the bottom. Right? We didn't give much credit to it. But it's Shantaras. Maybe, huh? How to appreciate God is the greatest. Shantaras. So even the gopis, Prabhupada says, when they start to think about Krishna, they start with his lotus feet. Right? And then they go up. So if you want to build a very big building, what does that say about your foundation? The bigger the building, the higher you go, the better the foundation. So there's nobody who's more in Shantaras than the gopis. knowing what he's more than Dasyaras and the gopis. But they just expanded to more and more intense service like that. Okay, thank you very much. The Papa Ki.
We also have
Ma Prasadam.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.